All right, welcome everyone to our Monday Night Learning Center. Thank you so much for being here with us tonight. Tonight we're going to wrap up our Bible favorite. And like we were saying before, it's been such a marvelous week. We've been able to share and just gain some new knowledge based on the Bible favorites of not only the crew, but also you, our listeners. So thank you for that. And let us go ahead and bring in our leader, Mr. Telly's Car. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing wonderful. And yourself?
I'm fine, sir.
Good deal, good deal. So tonight, y'all, this is our learning center, okay? And as always, we have Mr. DJ with us on this evening, and he'll be taking on someone, I think. Someone wants to sit in that hot seat against Mr. DJ as we answer some email questions about this past week on Wednesdays, Bible study, and on Sundays, fellowship call. So please, if you have any question, if you want to ask Mr. DJ or the guest on this evening, please don't hesitate to press *5, even if you have some type of commentary. It can be in the form of a question, something that you want to share, you know, whatever God places on your heart. So it doesn't have to be a question, okay, if you just want to, you know, share something. It can be a testimony, okay? So please don't hesitate to press *5. But before we get started, Ms. Candy, if you don't mind opening us up with a prayer, please.
Yes, sir. Father God, we thank you for allowing us to see another day, Lord, for bringing us to this point, Lord, onto this call. Lord, we pray that each and every one of us is open tonight, Lord, to continue to receive from you, Lord, and that your word just falls down on us tonight, Lord, giving us guidance, giving us direction for the way that we are to go forward. Lord, we thank you in advance for all that you're going to do here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Man. All righty. So, y'all, we're going to get started with this call. And again, you know, this is our SMB Learning Center. This past week, we have talked about, we shared a lot. We shared a lot about the scriptures, your favorites, your Bible favorites. Who is your favorite person in the Bible? Your favorite scripture in the Bible? Even your favorite story in the Bible. Ms. Candy, I heard you was giving, what were you giving, your scripture?
Oh, yes, sir. It was just another one of those scriptures that I love. It was Zephaniah 3:17.
And what does it say, Zephaniah 3:17?
The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save, he will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing.
That's good. That was a good one. That's a real good one. I know that's more than one you chose already, but we all have multiple favorites, and that was good. Mr. DJ, I know the other night you mentioned you had more than one. Did you want to share another one with us?
Bible verse.
It can be a verse. What you got?
John 3:16 is just my absolute favorite.
Okay.
I mean, that's just my absolute favorite. Yeah.
That's for God so loved the world, that's a go-to one. Well, I tell you what, I want to share another one that I had too, Proverbs, and I know someone mentioned it, Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Trust in the Lord, I love it, because... You like that? That being a favorite, I tell you. You know, y'all, if we can just put the world on pause for a second and enforce Proverbs 3:5-6, you understand that we will be looking at heaven on earth.
Yes, sir.
It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean out. You know what gets us in trouble, Mr. DJ? The fact that Mr. Carr think one way and Mr. DJ think another way.
That's right.
So one of our ways are like God's way.
Right.
Amen.
Exactly. Amen.
And that's the very thing that gets us in trouble. And I hear it all the time with the Learning Center, y'all. This is our recap. I hear it all the time. You know, everybody entitled to their opinion. And you are exactly right. But that's the problem in the world today, is that we have opinions, and opinions are not facts.
And that leads to the other verse that goes with that, to just piggyback off what you said, 2 Timothy 2:15. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God.
That is. That is.
We'd rather for somebody to preach to us and talk to us than actually read it for ourselves.
That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, study. We cannot submit to a God that we don't know.
Amen.
Can I say that again, y'all? We cannot submit to a God we do not know. If you don't know what your mother likes, how can you serve her? If you don't know what your daddy likes, how can you serve him?
Mm.
We can't submit to God if we don't know God. Now, I know theoretically, you know, we get this way, but theoretically, we say we do know God. Well, if we know God, why then do we get upset when a Bible favorite is thrown out that says God chastises those who he loves?
Hmm.
Amen.
We get upset when somebody chastises us, and that's a Bible favorite. That's the God you say you know and you love. So in other words, you love his chastisement. But if God can send someone your way to bless you, you don't think he can send someone your way to chastise you?
Yes, sir.
Mr. DJ, I got to say it again, Mr. DJ. This is a Bible favorite now. If God, Mr. DJ, let's just say, for instance, you're a stepdaddy. Okay?
Okay.
How is it, and how would you feel? You know how I feel about the word feel, but I'm going to use it for this comment. But how would you feel if that child that you're a stepfather to, he feeling himself, he got hair around his chin, he's 21.
Hmm.
So he grown now.
Hmm.
So he say. But he allowed you to buy him a car. You even put rims on it. You got a little sound system in there too. You can do all that for him. But yet the very first time that you go to correct him and discipline him, you ain't my daddy.
Who?
Yes, sir.
Hmm.
Miss Candy, is that real?
Mm.
Mr. DJ, how you feel with that?
Got to. Not good.
You see?
Not good at all.
With Bible favors, we want the favor of God, but we don't want that discipline. But do you understand that God loves you when he chastises you? In other words, when he sees fit to whip you, it's because he cares for you, and the whipping says that I know you can do better because I gave you better.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
He wouldn't whip you if he didn't care about you. Hmm. He wouldn't whip you if he didn't think you can do better. Ain't that something? So, y'all, when we say Bible favorites, from the people to the scriptures to the stories, understand that it always, a favorite doesn't make you feel good, but a favorite is necessary. Fair enough?
Fair.
All righty. So, Mr. DJ, we're going to get straight to it. I think we missed Ms. Candy. We had someone who wanted to chime in with a question up front. But before we do that, I'm going to get our special guest in on the line tonight. Mr. DJ, you're going to be going up. Is she there? Miss Tiana? Miss Tiana want to sit in that hot seat, Mr. DJ.
Uh-oh.
Miss Tiana, you there?
I'm here. I'm ready.
Let's see. Oh, okay. I don't even have to break down the rules then. She says she's ready, Mr. DJ.
Where's she from?
Where you from, Miss Tiana?
None other than Brooklyn, New York.
Okay.
All right. As long as you don't say Seattle, nor San Diego, nor New Orleans, you good.
You asked me where I'm from.
That's
Brooklyn,
right.
New York.
Okay. We're going to sit back and watch. I ain't know where she's from, but you know Mr. DJ, he can do his thing. He can cut up. But anyways, can we get to that first caller, Miss Candy?
Certainly. Good evening, caller. Go ahead with your scripture, your question for this evening.
Yes, good evening, everyone. I'm calling we were talking about your favorite scriptures, favorite Bible studies, stories this week. So my question is, what is the difference between favorites and favoritism?
Mm. All righty. As always, I'm going to start with the guest, Ms. Tiana.
Okay.
The floor is yours.
All right. Difference between favorite and favoritism. Great question. Something I actually thought of this week. Favorite is just something that you acknowledge. That's the thing that that gets you going. That's the thing that you lift up. Favoritism, though, is something that you almost, it's like when we talked about proud and pride this week, you hold on so much to that you forget everything else. Favorite is acknowledgement. Favoritism is you give up everything for.
Hmm.
And that's not right. Favoritism is not something that you should walk in.
All right.
Mr. DJ?
Favorite to me is more so earned, where favoritism, you kind of feel obligated. If you got your favorite player, let's just say on a sports team, but of course if your child or relative is now playing for that team, then you're going to show favoritism towards that particular person. So favoritism is something that's done out of obligation that you feel that you're obligated to do. Favorite is something that's earned. There's a reason why that's your favorite.
Okay.
It's not without obligation.
Gotcha. Ms. Tiana, I'm going to come back to you right quick. Would God approve of favorites or favoritism?
God would not approve of favoritism. Favorites, you know, he says that, I don't think he's chosen favorites, but he acknowledges, for example, David, who's the apple of his eye. He acknowledges those who are doing right according to his will. But he doesn't necessarily claim that you are my favorite.
Hmm. Gotcha. What about you, Mr. DJ? How would you?
I don't think so at all, because if he did, then I wouldn't be here. Just as well as we go out and do something just as stupid and moronic that don't make no sense, he loves us just the same. And I mean, you look at the thief on the cross, you know, that's all we know about the thief, that he was a thief. But he went on up to heaven. So if he can save a wretch, a sinner like that, or like me, then you got to look at the thief. I mean, you know, I can use my own self. He shows me favor. But I don't think he plays favoritism, because he doesn't even chop up, you know, when we sin. I mean, it's not, okay, well, that's a little sin and that's a big sin. No, it's just sin. You know, and he doesn't turn his back on anyone. I mean, you know, he's God, and only thing you have to do is be humble, submit yourself, and, you know, you're right there with him. I don't think he does any kind of favoritism.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Carla, for that question. So let's get to our next email question, okay? Here's the email question. This is for you first, Mr. DJ. The question is, 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8, Mr. Carr gave mention to it, and it gives mention to the fact that love is not jealous. Since God is love, how then is it possible that we serve a jealous God?
How is it possible that we serve a jealous God? Because he is God all by himself. There should be no other. That's simply put. He is the only God. That's it. He can't create anything else other than that. There's no big God, little God. It's only one God. That's it.
Okay. What you got, Ms. Tiana? You going to challenge that? What you got?
No challenge at all. Just additional facts that tells us to not to love any other God besides him. Don't put anything above him. So there's two of everything, right? So his jealousy is one of honor. Like, you do not there's just nobody else. You should appreciate only him, because it's only him who allows us to be here every day. It's only him that allows us to wake up anymore every morning. It's only him who has a plan for our lives. So his is based on honor. The jealousy that we talk about is based off of wanting something that somebody else does not have. And that's not God in any shape or form.
Okay, well, let me throw this one out. I'm going to piggyback off the email question. This one for Mr. DJ first. So then, since God wants to be God alone by himself, and he is, you know, he said, puts no other idol before me. Okay? Right. With that being said, is it okay for a Christian man to be jealous of his wife? If then she is giving her attention elsewhere, and he says that I am a direct, I'm emulating God. Is that okay?
No, not at all. That's foolish. Not at all. Not at all. If he is truly emulating God, then that means he's the head and not the tail. And he should know his place and be comfortable within his place. I want to use the word, I'm trying to think of the word, confidence, self-confidence, esteem. He should be comfortable within himself of who he is and whom he is to his queen. And he shouldn't be jealous at all. If he's simply wanting some attention, that's probably the human side in him. But no, he's not in God, because, she has only one husband. We have only one God. But at the same time, that kind of attention. Now, if she's doing things that only a husband is so privileged to have, then of course, that's a different story.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, no. Uh-huh.
Okay, and Ms. Tian, I'm going to piggyback off that same question and throw one at you right quick, since you're in a hot seat. Is it possible, okay, that some know the Bible and know Scripture, that they purposely make jealousy the forefront of things? In other words, that they provoke it?
Is it possible for someone to provoke jealousy?
Is it possible that they provoke jealousy? In other words, that they can, you know how people say things like, well, I'm going to do this to see how much they love, you know, that person loves me. Is that a sign of, how I want to put this, is that a sign of maturation? Is that a sign of doing it the godly way? I'm provoking someone to be jealous just to see how much, because, you know, y'all do know that people will provoke that a lot of times just to say, see if you love them or not. So if you're being provoked to be jealous and you don't fall into that snare, do you really love someone?
No. God tells us that we are not to cause anybody else to sin. And jealousy is a sin. So if we so are trying to provoke someone to be jealous by doing those things, then we're the ones who, using Mr. DJ's word, are foolish. Right? And we're the ones who are absolutely incorrect. So as a Christian who knows God's word, no, you shouldn't cause the brother to do anything that is wrongful in God's eyes.
And the reason I question to Miss Tiana, Mr. DJ, I'm going to get right to you. The reason I pose that question, y'all know the adage that we hear all the time, huh? If they don't want you, or if you don't want somebody else will, you know you're provoking somebody to do something, right?
Correct.
Yes.
Correct.
Because I know somebody on their phone what I'm talking about.
or if you don't send this email to 50 people, you'll go to hell. Or, you know, if you don't come and do it, yeah, all of that is foolish. You don't have to go through any of that. If you love me, you'll buy me 3 purses instead of 1. You know, this craziness.
Hold on now, DJ. I know Christmas coming up. But y'all get it, so this is our SMB Learning Center, okay? So these are the things that we're talking about, and these are legit email questions, all right? And they're giving great answers, and these are the things that we need to hear, because sometimes it's something that you may have had a question about, okay? And now it's getting answered. And I do believe that is a proper response, because jealousy can be provoked, but in the wrong manner, especially when you say, well, if you don't want me, somebody else will. Now, you're about to call somebody to rear up the ugly head of jealousy, and jealousy can bring about a whole demise. Because jealousy goes so deep to where it will take a life.
Mm-hmm.
Cain and Abel.
Okay. See, that's why DJ always on his phone. High seat. You can beat that Cain and Abel. Say, what you got, high seat?
Joseph's brother.
Come on, high seat. I'm talking to Miss Tiana. What you got? On a match, you don't got nothing to say.
Oh, the king who went up against Elijah with the,
okay.
the gods and fire. He was jealous that of his
okay.
I can't get
okay.
the name right now.
And the king's servant who put Daniel in the lion's den. Yes,
tell it.
Let me help you with one of the knocking out with one blow. Let me help you all right quick. Just all you have to do is say the name Lucifer, and then stop all that conversation.
Oh, yeah.
Just say Lucifer, Tiana. You win.
Who said? Lucifer did.
Jealousy started right there in heaven. Boom.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what that jealousy got him? Kicked out.
Mm-hmm.
But watch this. Y'all, that is a great question. I love it. Jealousy, 1 Corinthians, and we talked about it, Learning Center, favorite, Bible favorites. Jealousy runs so deep that you will lose one battle, but it looks like you don't want another one because he took a third of the angels with him.
That's right.
In other words, popularity don't mean that you're successful.
Amen.
In other words, jealousy runs deep because a lot of people will agree with it. Ask them angels, now known demons. A lot of people agree with jealousy because, girl, if he don't move when you wear this, he don't care about you. That is not true. If he let you wear that out that house, he don't care about you. That's not true. Y'all hear me?
Yes.
That's right.
Okay. Because some people like a jealous man to put their hands on. Don't you ever, we don't have to talk about that. Ain't going to be no Ray Rice around here.
Come on.
All right. All right, let's move on. Move on. Here we go. Miss Tiana, this question is going to be for you first and then Mr. DJ. Oh, I'm sorry. We have a raised hand, Miss Candy. Do we? We good?
Got that. We got that person, sir.
Okay. All right. Here we go, Ms. Tiana. This email is for you first and then Mr. DJ. Is it possible that the scriptures we read today may have been altered and compromised over the course of time to meet the agenda of the modern-day Christian?
Oh, not only is it possible, but it has been done. That's how you have to know God's word and know what you're reading. You got to know what text that you're reading. Today, there's actually texts out there that have been recreated or removed to fulfill the needs of individuals who do not feel that the word meets them. For example, the homosexual community has literally gotten versions of the Bible such that anything that says that sexual immortality, homosexuality is wrong, is taken out. So it is what music to their ears, what itching ears, what they want to hear. So we always got to go back to what the scripture, where we start with, King James. And no, is it easy for everyone to understand? No, you got other scriptures that are great to read as well, NIV, NLT, different ones, but always go back to connect it. Learn and go back and connect, and you know where scripture is. But some of those versions of those even have scriptures missing. So, yes.
Okay. All right. Now, hold on before you get started, Mr. DJ. Miss Candy, you there?
Yes, sir.
Can you look up the word immortality right quick?
Yes, sir.
I'm just messing with y'all.
Right.
I got what you was getting there, Miss Deanna, though.
Oh.
She showed it high seat to burn up.
Excuse me, vocabulary.
I'm about to say she's speaking in tongues. I'm the spirit hitter on the phone. Okay. Mr. DJ, you want to answer that same question? I'm going to repeat it for you. Is it possible that the scriptures we read today may have been altered and compromised over the course of time to meet the agenda of the modern-day Christian?
Yes, I totally agree with Ms. Tiana. Even in the children's Bible, you know, it says that Jesus had took the boys lunch, five barley loaves and fish. It just says lunch because there are some people allergic to fish. I mean, there's all kinds of little stuff out there that's being changed. You wouldn't believe left and right. As we upgrade, they try to upgrade it so that it'll fit our public and political agendas, as she stated. There's a part in the Bible, I don't know the exact scripture, where it says that about women wearing pants. And they have changed. It's just all kinds of stuff that have been twisted. So the answer to that question is yes, very much. But that's why, as she stated, you have to study. You know, you can go back and research. You know, none of us were there then. But as God says, my sheep know my voice.
Mm-hmm.
You know his people. And you know it's a feeling about what's right and what's wrong. You know, some things you can't dispute. You just have to have faith. Those are the godly things.
Okay, okay. Good deal, good deal. Before we get to the next one, Ms. Candy, I want you to go ahead and throw in the individual who has their hand raised. Y'all get ready for the next question. Here we go. What we got?
Good evening, caller. Go ahead with your question or your scripture for this evening.
I have a question. Good evening. My question is, does a person have to experience something personally in order for a scripture to become their favorite?
Mr. DJ, I'm going to start with you.
For it to be, for it has to be something personally, no, because something can apply to you about your struggle or someone else's struggle. It could be a family member or a loved one that really epitomizes. And that's something that you can build strength off of in mentoring to them and ministering to that person. And that could become your favorite. I mean, there are several scriptures in the Bible that personally, you know, I haven't dealt with. I could relate to a couple, but there are some that personally that, no, I that could possibly be my favorite. And I do utilize. It depends on the situation. So I say no.
Okay. What about you, Ms. Tiana?
Yeah, I'm in agreement, especially if you're in ministry, you're constantly looking at ways of teaching, right? You're constantly walking that walk. So scriptures may not align with something that specifically happened to you, but it aligns with something that God has moved you to share. It's something that aligns that, you know what, with this, I know that this will never happen to me. So I'll give you one of mine. You know, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Nothing had to happen to me for that to be one of my favorite scriptures. It's uplifting and guides me each day. So, nope, not at all.
Okay, I'm about to throw in, you know, the connoisseur over here. She sits to the side, Miss Candy. What you got to say about that?
Well, I would say that I agree a little bit with both. And Tiana was just saying that this is the day that the Lord has made. Nothing had to happen for that to be her favorite. But I would challenge that statement because when we think about the scriptures that we love, there's something about them that we can pull from. So it might not have been on the particular day that you fell in love with the scripture, but there is something about it that keeps you going back to it. And so I would say that even though it might not be an exact replica of the scripture, there's something in that that has impacted your life in such a way. And when we say this is the day that the Lord has made, we literally rejoice and we're glad because we know that we're his. So even though it wasn't a calamity, that knowledge, that knowing that we're here is something that has happened.
Ms. Sharon, can you repeat your question one more time?
Yes. Does a person have to experience something personally in order for a scripture to become their favorite?
I think that's a legit question, and I heard them all. I want to just chime in on this. You know, I'm going to challenge all what I just heard, because it's that this DJ's hour, so I'm going to hop in the hot seat, you know, behind Miss Tiana, behind Miss Candy, and I'm going to challenge everybody I just heard. The reason why I challenge that is because you do have to experience it on some level. Hear me out. It doesn't have to be personally something you went through, but it has to be personal. There's a difference.
Okay.
A lot of people start foundations because their parents, something happened because of cancer per se. And they started a foundation, their favorite foundation now. It's not anything they went through, but it is something they experienced. Everybody on this phone has a favorite color, correct?
Correct.
Yes.
Is that something you experienced? And why is it your favorite? The experience is that you saw it. The experience that you can relate to it. Experience does not mean that you went through it. Experience, you know, the Bible said the wisest people on the face of the earth, those who serve, right? How can you serve a God that you never experienced, yet you just live his word out? You can experience hell without actually going through it through the eyes of God. If it becomes a favorite because you can associate with it, meaning you have some type of dealing with it, something stuck to where it's an experience. Experience doesn't mean that you physically have to be there. Nobody's favorite color is black if you have not experienced black. You can't say that's a favorite if you've never experienced something, right? What's your favorite food? What's your favorite place to go? How can Hawaii be your favorite place to go and you never went?
Hmm.
That place you want to go? Of course. But how can it be your favorite? Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Yes.
Right? So the only way that you can say Hawaii is my favorite place is that you look at it through the eyes of something, whether it be through media, magazines, television. That's my favorite place. So how scripture becomes your favorite is something in that scripture, and that's all we heard this past week. Everybody was saying, because I can associate, I can relate to that. That's all we heard, right?
That's true.
I don't know nobody that parted the Red Sea, but there's some favorite scriptures. I don't know nobody that was in the lion's den, but that's your favorite scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
See how your experience took you there through somebody else's eyes. Heaven, I've never been there, but that's my favorite place. Does that help everybody out?
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
And just to answer y'all's question, my favorite color is clear. Let's get to the next question, okay? Some people, they don't know why I just said it. Clear is a color, okay? Next email question. All right, this question comes on weight. Now, this actually goes with the last question that we had prior to Ms. Sharon's, okay? The question says, I've heard people talk about the power of Bible stories and God's word. What I have never understood was how we can take these stories as fact. What proof do we have that the stories that we know and love are real? Ms. Tanner, you first.
Because it's God's word. It is all God's word. As it says in 2 Timothy 3:16, is to train, to correct, to two other things. So my apologies off the top of my head, but God's word is used for everything, and this is God's word. God's word is love. He is love, and everything that has been provided by him is the truth, and that's what we have to go on. You take, for example, the four gospels, right? Four different individuals who were walking the walk, who all saw things in their own eyes, were able to give what God had given, take what God gave them to put into words. And we see time and time again how those four gospels line up to share the same story, right? How can God's word not be accurate? How can God's word constantly, from Old Testament to New Testament, we see reference to and fro, from prophecy of what's going to happen and it occurring to recollections of things from the past being brought up in the present. So it is a living word. It is a living word. It is constant, it is true, and it never changes.
Okay. Mr. Dizzy, I'm gonna ask you the same question. I've heard people talk about the power of Bible stories and God's word. What I have never understood was how we can take these stories as fact. What proof do we have that the stories that we know and love are real?
Well, first of all of the stories are not something that you need to apply literally. A good bit of them, most of them are spiritually. So if you're looking for a literal answer, you're not going to find one. These stories apply courage, faith, and the power of God, which is, as Tiana stated, in the Bible. One thing about the Bible, either you believe in it or you don't. You can't pick and choose and say, I'm going to believe Romans but not Peter. I'm going to believe Revelation, but Genesis don't make that much sense to me. He didn't do that. You can't pick and choose of the Bible of what's fact and what's fiction. If you claim to be a Christian and believe in God, you have to read that book. And you can't start in the middle and jump around. It's not going to make sense. You have to start at Genesis and end at Revelation. That's the only way it could really, really make sense to you to draw some conclusions. Will you have some questions? Sure. But again, a lot of it is not to be taken literally. And that's, and as you read, that's one thing that it even tells you. You know, some things in there, some of those Bible stories are parables.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not parables, but spiritual. You know, they're spiritual. You're supposed to look at the spiritual implications for it. So, you know, that's the only thing I can say.
Okay. All right. So good deal. That's a toughie, though. All right. So, last email question. All right, and the question says, and I'm going to start with you first, Mr. DJ. It says, I have a favorite version of the Bible that I always read and study from. Am I limiting myself by not learning from other versions?
I say yes. I do say yes. You need to honestly study, not just that one version. There are some things in other versions that may make things a little more clearer, or you can get a better understanding with. Hold on to your favorite version, but check your other sources, especially if you have any doubts or questions about anything. It may provide better background and knowledge about what it is that you're studying.
Ms. Tiana, what you got to say over there in that hot seat?
I'm in agreement. And it doesn't just take other Bibles, and just having other Bibles doesn't do it by yourself. It's also looking at, we always talk about having a study Bible as well, having concordance, having just other tools that help you reference and connect and have a better understanding of the words themselves that you're reading. So having multiple Bibles doesn't always get you there, but it's making sure that you have the entire a tool set that you can reference, as well as a spiritual leader who you can connect and ask some of those questions to.
Okay. Also, Mr. Carr, if I may add, when you have different cities and different names, you know, the Bible, when it gets to goest, douse, doest, force, you know, all the song twisters and all of that, and mm-hmm. some of the cities that we can't even really pronounce correctly, you don't know whether or not those cities are 30 miles apart. Why is this significant? You know, are those cities 30 miles apart or what? I've never heard of this city. I don't even know where it is. But then you go and reference some other resources and other versions of the Bible or other resources. And whatever those other resources are, whether or not it's Google, the Quran, or the Book of Mormon, whatever, I'm just saying that will give you more insight. You'd be like, okay, well, yeah, I see here where this city is located here. Yeah, that's a long walk. That's a very long walk, you know, little stuff like that.
Right, gotcha. All right, Ms. Candy, what you got to say about that one?
Can you give it to me one more time, sir?
Of course. Let me grab that email. Give me 1 second. It says, I have a favorite version of the Bible that I always read and study from. Am I limiting myself by not learning from other versions?
I would say you're limiting yourself. I don't want to go yes or no. And simply because to a person who understands Hebrew, the Hebrew version of the Bible is clear to them. They don't necessarily need to go and get a simplified version if that version is what they understand. But to myself or someone else who doesn't know Hebrew, I have to go and look at different versions of the Bible. So I don't think necessarily the version of the Bible is limiting. It's once you get to a point in whatever version it is that you don't understand something if you leave it there, if you don't go and research the words that you don't understand, if you don't go and see how the stories tie in one with the other. So I don't think it's the version so much as it's the work you do or do not put in with it.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. All right. This is our learning center, y'all. We talked about Bible favorites. Are you limiting yourself by only learning one version of the Bible? That's a tricky one. That's very tricky. Now, this is how I would answer that. Okay, and hear me. You are limiting yourself if God has called you to be a teacher, if God has called you to be a winner of souls. The reason why is because when you love others, what happens, remember we owe no man nothing but to love them. Love them. When you love others, you will be propelled and compelled to go and learn what it is that they need to know so that you can get on their level. I don't think everybody hit me. Now, we can look at that question selfishly and then I say no, because it's all about you. But if there are any teachers out there, and remember we talked about this about a week ago, that God wished that we would be teachers. Some of us should be. All of us should be in some type of way. When you have to teach so many different people, Mr. DJ, it's not good enough for you to just understand one type of person. Hence the fact, and I got to say it, nobody likes to talk about it, but hence the fact that racism exists because I do not want to know nothing but about my kind. So then argument comes up because we don't know about, you know, what is Muslim. Argument comes up because you are Baptist, you are Jehovah's Witness, you are Catholic, you are Protestant. See, then because we don't understand them and we care not to know about them, I'm limiting myself because the Bible says that people will come from a many different nations.
That's right.
But if I'm so secluded, anybody got a German Shepherd or a Rottweiler, you know, territorial dogs, anybody that step on that territory that they're not familiar with, and you talk about your dog don't bite it, that dog got teeth, it's going to bite.
Oh, yes.
In other words, auntie, you socialize, Miss Tiana. Dogs become socialized when they go out and about meeting different people. In other words, they don't bark and bite. They lick and wag tail because they are familiar.
Yep.
It is great to learn not only King James, but go get God's Word. Go get your study Bible. Go get the NLT and go get all those different things. The reason is the cross-reference is great because what you'll see the word thou, like Mr. DJ said, you'll see what it means if you read it. Easy to read. Now you can translate to people.
That's right.
Now, if it's only you that you're trying to translate to, you to keep the King James, you're good to go. But I don't think that God gave you the word just for you. Make sense?
Yes, sir.
Got it?
Yes.
And I also do believe that the Bible says, study the word to show thyself approved. If you know anything about studying, you know you don't just look at one channel all day on TV, don't you? When you study something, you go in. And what I mean by going in is you get this type of Bible, you get that type of Bible. You study. That means I don't just want this version. When you study people, what do? You don't want to hear what they got to say. You go to their mama. You go to their auntie. You go to their employer. Uh-huh. You study them. You go to different versions, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Y'all hear me? Don't you go to different versions?
And they do what you credit.
That's right.
What you do. Learning Center. Great call. Thank you so much, Ms. Tiana, Mr. DJ, always. Salute. Y'all, listen, I hope this week we just learned something in concluding. I really hope, you know, with our favorites, and y'all noticed that I mentioned that, you know, my favorite was 1 Corinthians 13:4-8. Y'all remember that one, right? Okay. The reason why, and let me give, because somebody asked me the question that I want to answer. Okay. If you turn and write it down, just write it down. 1 John 4:8. The Bible says, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love.
All right.
He says, owe no man nothing but to love them. 1 John 4:20, the Bible says, whoever claims to love God, I love this, whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they see on a daily basis cannot love a God whom they have not seen.
Yes.
Y'all get it?
Yes, sir.
Love is used too many times in the Bible for the definition of it not to be the most important in the Bible. If you know it's not love, you don't know God. If there's no love, there's no you or I. If there was no love, there would be no heaven. That's how important that scripture is. Because love is God. God has defined himself. One of the questions I would tap in real quickly, and the question is, how do we know that scriptures are real? Why do we take them as fact? Do you not understand that I can listen, you can listen, and you should, the Bible says. Listen to what people say, regardless of who they are. In other words, somebody can be telling you about heaven, although they live in a life of hell. The problem is, when we talk about Bible scriptures and favorites, you do understand that Judas is a crack, the 12 disciples, the one who got Jesus. Okay, he played a very important role in all humanity. Y'all understand that?
Yes, he did.
Okay. Do you not understand that Jesus knew who Judas was when he selected him?
Yes, he did.
Do you not understand that he also told Judas to hurry and do what he must?
That's right.
But he still loved Judas, regardless. Y'all understand? Okay.
That's right.
Very, very, very important that when we're developing favorites, okay, that we also keep God at the forefront of everything that we have. Meaning that just because I don't know if the scripture is real or not, I do understand this one thing that God gave to me, and there's a spirit called discernment. In other words, I should know how my daddy sounds. I should know how my daddy looks. This is why love is the most important in the Bible. You cannot, and y'all hear me good, a lot of people run from my favorite scripture, you cannot be in God's will, you cannot be Christian if you don't first have two things, and that is patience and kindness. If you struggle with those two things, you're struggling with God.
That's right.
If you struggle with jealousy, you are struggling with God. If you are struggling with arrogance, you struggle with God. Being boastful, you struggle with God. Keeping a record of wrongdoing, you know how you can't forgive somebody and you even told them about what they did last week, last year? You struggle with God because the same thing that you're keeping over their head, God can keep some over yours.
Amen.
That is absolutely the most important scripture in the Bible, simply because I can use that to address everything in the world. Everything in the world. You can use 1 Corinthians 4. You can't use all scripture. Mr. DJ said John 3:16, for God so loved. Look at the word love right back in it. You don't know the definition of love, so what does, if you don't know the definition of love, how could you understand the scripture? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Let me break it down. For God was so patient to the world. He was so kind to the world. You got to know who God is to even understand life. If you don't know who God is, it don't matter what people tell you. It can be flat out true. If you don't know God, you will never find him in it. You can't search for something you don't know what to look for.
Amen.
You cannot search for something that you don't. If somebody say, help me find something, your first question, Mr. DJ, is going to be, what you looking for?
Exactly.
How am I searching for something that I don't know? Because I might stumble across it, and I might just kick it to the side, but if you ain't tell me what it was.
Come on.
The Bible is not a play toy. It's a powerful tool. Know what you're looking for. But anything that you look for in the Bible, if love is not connected to it, close your Bible. Everything that you seek, make sure love is connected. In other words, don't be trying to go to God looking for your husband when he ain't involved. I say when God not involved. Because a lot of times we want God for the husband, but we don't want the husband for God. Let us go ahead and pray, Mr. DJ.
To Heaven and Father, we come to you on humble knee, and we come to you to say thank you, Father. Thank you. Bless this ministry. Bless the teachers as well as the pupils. Bless the ones that spoke as well as the ones that's listening. Thank you for assembling us together again to worship you and bring us together on one accord to uplift your name and keep us on the path. And may something said bless us. May something said teaches us patience and kindness. Help us with that and help us to bless others with it. In your name, in your son Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Y'all have a great night. And make sure, y'all, when you get in God's word, this is not about who can sound the best. This is not for debate. When you get in the word of God, make sure you're growing. In other words, when some people say some things you don't like, good. Grow in God. Grow in God. This is not a popularity contest. You got to grow in God. Y'all hear me? You have to, your verbiage has to change. And what I'm talking about, your verbiage meaning that it has to be poured into your heart first. You should be doing some more studying that you, okay, you put in an hour last week. This week you should be putting in an hour and 30 minutes. Grow in God. Stop playing around and just going through the motions and say it sound good. I like it. Don't matter what you like. It matters how you live.
Amen.
Grow in him. Okay? Because when you grow in God, it's easy to talk about his experience. Y'all have a great night. We'll see y'all on Wednesday.
All right.
Good night.